Chapter 21. The next morning, Nisha awoke, once again, heard Bach walking around outside the tent. This became a comforting sound to her. Nisha got up quickly. Bach, come inside, tell us what you found out about the Utes. I've learned enough now to realize I know little of the truth, Bach said. I gave several of the wild Utes the cube. Most of them found the solution in 20 to 30 seconds, which is about the same amount of time as it took me. I found a few domesticated Utes and they couldn't solve the cube in 5 minutes. Perhaps domestication has reduced their intelligence, or at least their puzzle-solving ability. That's possible, Nisha said. Intelligence has many facets. Yuva is an incredible artist. Check this out. She handed him Yuva's portrait of Rachel. Bach studied the image in silence and turned to Rachel. He glanced back at the drawing. I'll admit this is better than anything I've ever drawn. I'm not an artist. Bach turned to Yuva and gave her the hand signal for, well done. Weeba, she said. Bach glanced at Nisha. What does that mean? She isn't giving a hand signal back. It means thank you. I didn't realize they had a verbal language, Bach said. Rachel and Nisha both laughed. Why are you laughing? We're laughing because now you're asking us to translate, Nisha said. Nisha and Rachel smiled with great satisfaction. This is humor, right? Bach said. Yes, Nisha said. Can you make a translation device? We want to speak more easily with Yuva. It will take a long time to learn her language or vice versa. A translation database must exist somewhere you can access. The elders have hidden this data from you, but I know you can find it. I'll work on that today, Bach said. I'm disappointed I didn't know about the Utes earlier. I no longer think the humans or the Utes should be pets. Nisha said, I'm glad you understand the reality of the situation, Bach. It's not only because the Omanji took my child from me, but also the whole concept behind it. She muted the audio for a few seconds. Well, that's one down and only 800,999,999,999 Omanji to go. Rachel smiled. Yeah, we're getting there. Bach placed a package on the table. Here is a several days' supply of food for Yuva until you can use the food replicator. I'll go and learn more about the domestication process for the Utes. Also, I'll find a translation database and make a translator for Yuva to use with you. Bach left. Yuva sniffed the food. They walked up to the mess tent to eat breakfast. They got their food and walked out to their favorite picnic table. Once again, the morning sun made the colony glisten like jewels. Nisha glanced over at Yuva as they sat down. Rachel, Yuva is avoiding looking at the colony. I noticed the same thing. She seems traumatized. We don't know her psychological makeup. Are we placing human emotions on her? How could she not be traumatized? She's an intelligent being who's being held for domestication during an interstellar flight. She's self-aware, and she's aware of the fate for all of her kind. She probably feels the same way as Priya and the other kids, Nisha said. She reached over to hug Yuva. Oh, there's that electricity again. Something about the sensation I can't explain. It makes you want to do anything she wants. Nisha gave Yuva her food. Weeba. Weebo, Nisha said. She felt another rush of electricity flow through her. Yuva picked up some crunchy food pellets with her four chopsticks as she made cute noises of pleasure. Yeah, she can make us do anything, Rachel said. I understand why the Omanji want them as pets. They might be more intelligent than humans in some ways, but in other ways, they do resemble humans. I like how precisely she eats with the chopsticks. Most human adolescents aren't that precise. Or even adults, Nisha said. Priya was never this neat and orderly about eating. I'm wondering about the electricity. I wonder if the Utes are valued for their addictive properties. What do you think? You felt the flow of their energy. Rachel agreed. For humans, I understand how this might become addictive. I like the sensation. I may not be the best test subject because I've never been addicted to anything other than those ice-blended coffee drinks. Okay, she's finished eating. Let's go back to the tent and do some more testing. They walked back to the tent with Yuva holding Nisha's hand as Priya had done years earlier. They played chess. Yuva lost the first game, but almost played to a stalemate before losing in the second game. She scored a 145 on an IQ test, where only shapes and other non-language specific skills were evaluated. The testing went on for the rest of the day while the world watched in amazement. They decided to break for dinner, so they proceeded to put away the equipment used to test Yuva. It's strange, Rachel. We're getting to know Yuva well, considering we aren't speaking much. I can't wait to use Bok's translator.
I think I hear him, Rachel said.
Bok?
Yeah, I think Bok is outside.
Nisha peered outside. Bok walked around aimlessly.
Hi, Bok. Come inside.
Okay, thank you.
Yuva hid behind Nisha. It's okay, Yuva. It's only Bok, Nisha said, trying to comfort her.
He wants the Utes to be free. Isn't that right, Bok?
Yes. I haven't had enough time to do research into the history of the Utes, but I located a Ute Omanji translation database thanks to some friends who don't want to merge with the collective. I want to try out the new translator now. Bok gave Yuva the featureless, smooth orb. Yuva held it in her hands and tossed it up in the air a few times, catching it casually with her 6 padded fingertips. Bok made a few hand signals, which only Yuva understood. She placed a small device in her earhole. She held the device to her mouth and glanced back at Bok with one eye and Nisha with the other eye. He gave a few more signals.
Their native language is called Yunti, Bok said.
Yuva spoke some words in Yunti, and a second later they were translated.
I'm excited because now I can speak with you, Yuva said via the device.
Nisha turned to Bok for a moment.
Not bad. A perfect translation.
Then she turned to Yuva.
Yuva, I'm excited too, Nisha said. I want to learn all about you and the Utes.
Yuva listened to the translation in her ear.
I can tell you anything you want to know.
I also want to ask you questions, she said. Nisha smiled at Rachel.
She sounds a lot like you.
Rachel laughed.
Yeah, she does.
A little. I'm not as cute. Nisha turned back to Yuva. First of all, do you wish to be a pet?
I'm afraid to answer that question in front of the Omanji, Yuva said.
Nisha glanced at Bok.
Your translation device is working well.
I agree, Bok said. Bok turned to Yuva. I'm sorry about what my species has done to you, Bok said. I didn't know how intelligent you are. I'm not an adult. The elders have hidden information from the younger ones like me about the nature of the Utes. I thought Utes were only cute animals. That's what the elders taught us in school. As a student in school, one tends to accept what is taught as fact. While reading human history, I came across a saying I like. It says, "History is written by the winners." There is some dispute over which human said that first. From my studies, it's not always true that the winners write the history, but it's usually the case. It's true in this case. Tell us your side of the story from the perspective of the Utes. Yuva listened to the translation in her ear and thought for a while. I'm happy you're a good Omanji. Most elders are not good. The Omanji are guilty of taking over the planet and enslaving us. We know little of our history that happened before the Omanji came. I'll tell you what I know based on what my parents learned in school. Before you, I mean the Omanji, came and took us away to Earth. Let me begin with our last memories of life on Oma. I was born in space on the way here to Earth. My parents remember what happened on Oma, and they told me so I wouldn't forget. Rachel glanced at Nisha. Is this being broadcast?
Yes, every word,
Nisha whispered. Yuva continued to talk into the translator. We lived in our colony on the southern continent for a few thousand years after the Omanji relocated us there. We lived a physically demanding life because the Omanji moved us to an inhospitable location. About 80 Earth years ago, they came for us. We could do nothing when the spheres came down. We were paralyzed and then we involuntarily walked into the spheres. I'm not sure how many of us they took into space, but my parents never set foot on Oma again. They kept the families together. I'm still living with my family, at least until I just now left the colony. Now that we've reached Earth, they want us to serve them as pets. It's the same as when we were slaves. We'll refuse to let this happen to us. We prefer to die than become their slaves.
I thought you liked being pets, Bok said.
My parents told me that Utes are the best pets because they love being pets and they love their masters. Yuva talked into the translator in that cute little voice she had. The wild Utes you abducted thousands of years ago were bred into passivity. They may tolerate being pets because they know of nothing else. They've forgotten their own history.
However, my parents were born free. Now we're being held captive against our will. It's been that way during our entire 80-year trip from Oma. I don't remember the whole trip, Nisha interrupted. Yuva, you're articulate and young. You aren't an adult. Are all Utes as smart as you? Everyone is different, Yuva said. I don't understand human intelligence, but I believe I'm average for a Ute. We aren't encouraged to compete in that way. We're taught to be the best we can be. You can meet others of my kind and you'll understand more. Meet them fast before we're domesticated. We're resisting, but we don't control our future. They might need to kill us first. We're not violent like the Omanji, but we'll passively resist if they push us too far. Nisha turned to Bok. You have a problem. We do. Ever since we landed on Earth about 4 weeks ago, I've been told the wild Utes are difficult to domesticate. Scientists are working on discovering how the domesticated Utes differ genetically from the wild Utes. The wild Utes can be genetically modified to be passive, but they may decide to breed more domesticated Utes instead. The results of our tests are inconclusive. Bok, please don't refer to us as wild or domesticated. We're not animals, Yuva said. Yeah, Rachel said. Humans aren't wild or domesticated either. Okay, Bok said. I'll abstain from that language. If I use the term, it will be in reference to how the elders discussed the topic. I understand that neither humans nor Utes are simple animals, but the elders think so. I'm not sure how to convince them otherwise. My access to them is limited unless I merge with the telepathic collective awareness. I'm having my doubts about doing that now. You're having doubts, Nisha said. Yes, I enjoy my freedom, which I'll lose if I merge. However, if I don't merge, I won't be able to participate in society. I'll lose all contact with my parents. They're pressuring me to merge now that I've completed my adolescent studies. Also, I'm not sure where I would go. On Oma, an alternate colony existed where I could live my life. But on Earth, there's nothing. Nisha temporarily muted the audio portion of the broadcast. You should start your own colony. What would the elders do? Would others join you? I don't know. Many of my friends are expressing doubts about merging. Even when we were on Oma, which I've never seen in person because I was also born in space on the way here, we had doubts. The elders call this phase of life the age of dissonance. Most young Omanji experience a lack of harmony between who they are before they merge and who they'll become in adult society. About 99.9% decide to merge. I think the age of dissonance is now felt more strongly here on Earth. We watch how humans pursue their personal goals and how they enjoy their individuality. Now, most of my friends are expressing doubts about merging. However, there's nowhere to go. Only a brief time ago, you couldn't imagine any reason not to merge. You've changed your opinions a lot, Nisha said. I'm a quick learner, Bok said, as though attempting to break free of some force. Nisha, are you muted right now? Rachel said. Yes. Bok, will the elders get angry at humans for corrupting your mind and turning you against them? Rachel said. No, they still don't consider the humans to be a threat, mentally or physically. You're not considered a threat to Omanji children. The elders don't care what I do with humans now that I've graduated and am awaiting the merging process. That will begin as soon as I've made my decision. They don't force me to merge, but there's a lot of pressure to merge sooner than later. Yuva had been quiet, but she paid close attention via her translator. She said, Bok, you're in the same situation as the captive Utes and humans. You're being forced to serve the Omanji collective awareness. She's right, Nisha said. Rachel nodded her approval. Bok fell silent for a long time. Yuva, I'm trying to find a flaw in your logic. I think you're right, but I'll need to do some research before I come to a decision. I'll admit I've been wrong about the Utes. I'm having difficulty reconciling my new and old beliefs. Bok, don't be so self-critical, Nisha said. Your knowledge is only as good as what they serve to you in school. Now you understand you can't always trust what is spoon-fed to you by those who want to maintain the status quo. You always need supporting independent data. Bok said nothing for a few seconds. I agree. Okay, Yuva, tell us more about what you know about your history. I wish to know the other side of the story. Yuva listened to the translation. We were taken off Oma by force and moved to Earth. We were abducted into slavery as unwilling pets. This pattern has been repeated countless times in our history. We're peaceful, but the Omanji are violent. Omanji wars ruined the planet several times with radiation and nasty robots, which killed us and forced the survivors to live in the deepest parts of the forest. We don't reproduce as quickly as the Omanji. Many generations are required to recover when the Omanji take us or we're killed in their wars. Yuva, can you describe your life cycle to us? Nisha said. Yes, we live to be about 120 to 140 Earth years of age. We lay eggs, usually one at a time. We keep them warm until they hatch about 12 months later. We're small at birth, and we live in our parents' pouches for 1 year. I haven't been able to study humans, so I can't compare us to you. We seem to share a common ancestor with the Omanji, but that ancestor lived in the ocean around 100 million ago. However, we live a similar life cycle and share similar hand structures and other body features. From what we can tell, some features evolved independently from the common ancestor. That's how we understand these events, Bok said. Please continue. Every time Ute society recovered from an Omanji disaster, another one would strike. During good times, the Omanji would take more of us captive. For us, good times were rare. We struggled to survive. They removed us from the best locations on the southern continent and forcibly placed us into our colony. Eventually, the Omanji stopped using us as slaves because machines could do the work better, but they still liked us for our Yume. What is Yume? Nisha said. Yume comes out of us as an electrical current when we're expressing love and friendship for each other. The Omanji use us for our Yume. They abduct us and brainwash us into servitude, so we'll give them our Yume. They tried to create devices which generate artificial Yume, but our Yume is considered better. The Omanji provide for all survival needs in return. Abuse is outlawed. Ah, I understand, Nisha said. It's like slavery, only subtler. The Omanji are addicted to the Utes, Rachel said. Yes, Yuva said. We're captive. The domesticated Utes don't know that anymore because they lost all knowledge. Only those who lived in our small colony of about 50,000 on the southern continent remember our past. The Omanji designed our colony, but they almost forgot about us and left us alone. We had to develop computers and databases on our own. At one point about 20,000 years ago, our population was 500 million, and we put space vehicles into orbit. That was difficult, because Oma's gravity is much stronger than Earth's. When the Omanji discovered what we were doing, they destroyed our space program and all related data. However, they didn't get everything. We hid many copies of our data storage units, and we still possess many of them because they don't take us seriously. Yuva paused and looked around. Are we being recorded? She said. Only video is being sent right now, Yuva, Nisha said. Nobody can hear you speak. I can turn the camera view in the other direction. Okay, I will give you one of our storage units, make copies and distribute them widely, and hide them in case the Omanji come looking. Nisha took the storage unit and hid it away for safekeeping. Thank you, Yuva. Okay, continue your story. Yuva glanced over at Bok and continued. The one reoccurring theme in our history is the repeated abusive behavior by the Omanji. We're peaceful and every bit as intelligent as unmodified Omanji, but our goals and values are different. We're trusting beings. That turned out to be our downfall. Now we're on this distant planet called Earth, over 20 light years away from Oma, and we're still being forced into slavery. They'll enslave the humans on this planet as well and destroy it. I hope you're wrong, Yuva, Bok said. We've been mostly peaceful for almost 4,000 years. We're treating the humans well, except for the 25,000 who were abducted, including Nisha's child, Priya. That may be true for now, Bok, Yuva said, as she looked out at the colony through the tent's open door. However, the Omanji enjoyed eras of peace, followed by total devastation. The collective awareness is all that's keeping the Omanji and their advanced technology from obliterating everything it touches. The culture is unstable. It comes at a prohibitive cost because the Omanji lack freedom and a sense of individuality. I'm afraid this unmolested planet will be destroyed just as Oma has been so many times in the past. Rachel glanced at Nisha with raised eyebrows. Ugh, she said. Not only are the Omanji taking over the Earth, they're like a huge ticking antimatter time bomb. I think you're wrong, Bok said. Omanji society is stable. I hope you're right, Bok, Nisha said. Please continue, Yuva. Thank you. Several times we reached an advanced technological level only to be attacked by the Omanji. They had many advantages over us, They were more aggressive, they reproduce more quickly, they have a larger population, and their continent had more natural resources than ours. The only good thing is we lived in peace for 100,000 years before the Omanji discovered us. When they first discovered us, things were peaceful because the Omanji were curious. However, once they discovered our uses as slaves and producers of Yume, they took everything from us. Nisha turned to Bach. What do you think about all of this? I'm ashamed and disgusted. I want to help free the Utes and the humans. Nisha smiled at Rachel. There's hope. I'll see my Priya again. Okay, I'm turning on the audio portion of the broadcast again.
Bach went into a quiet state for a few minutes. Nisha, Rachel, and Yuva waited in silence. Bach appeared to wake up. He glanced over at Nisha, who stared at him.
Would you like to visit Priya? He said. Yes, Nisha said, jumping up and down like a child. You can go to her now. Come with me. Okay. Should Yuva come with us? Nisha said. Yuva hid behind Rachel. No, I never want to go to the colony ever again, she said. She shook with fear. It's okay, Yuva, Nisha said. You can stay here. Rachel, can you stay with her and keep her safe? I'd like that, Rachel said. Yuva appeared relieved and let go of Rachel's arm, which now had 6 round finger marks on it, in 2 rows of 3. Nisha and Bach walked out of the tent to go to the colony, while Yuva began her rest period, which can last for up to 20 hours. The Omanji spent most of their 80-year journey to Earth, partially adapting to a 24-hour day cycle and the Earth's atmosphere. They arrived at the edge of the colony and entered a transport cube. Soon they stood at the base of the tower where Priya and the other humans were being domesticated. They took a lift cube up to level 327, walked down the long corridor, and entered the large room with a panoramic view of the colony. Nisha watched Priya silently interacting with several others, including Sophie. I'm glad she's still friends with Sophie, Nisha said. From what I understand about the human domestication process, we've allowed friends to be together until they're assigned a host. They can stay in communication after that. We've always done this with the Utes. Sometimes hosts will take more than one companion pet if they're attached in the same way as Priya and Sophie. Soon you can talk with them. I must tell you about an important development. I'm learning about the situation now. What? We're having problems domesticating the humans. They're young and uncooperative. They aren't learning the Omanji language and they're refusing to communicate with us. A few hours ago, the Council of Esteemed Elders decided the humans won't make good pets. So, we're letting them go. Nisha tilted her head and squinted at Bach, but said nothing. Did you understand me? Bach said. Yes! Nisha shrieked before realizing how loud she was. The children glanced over at Nisha as though she had lost her mind. Nisha gathered her composure. You're releasing all of them? She whispered. That's correct, Nisha. You can take them all now, Bach said. Nisha gave Bach an expression of disbelief. Do you mean now, as in this very moment? I can walk out of here with them right now? Yes. How many of them are there? Nisha said. 25,000. They're all in this tower on many levels. They haven't been told because we won't release them unless you agree to take them. Otherwise, we'll keep them and reprogram them. No, I'll take them. I'll take them right now, Nisha whispered. What should I do? Before I advise you, there's one complicating factor. What, Bach? We're also ending our wild Ute domestication program. They're about to be released. You guys don't mess around. How many Utes are there? Approximately 50,000 Utes are in the nearby tower, over there to the right and up 100 levels as you look out the window. It's where we first saw Yuva. Will you take them? Nisha fell silent, but she didn't need to think for long. Yes, I'll take them too, she hesitated. What am I getting myself into? I'm unsure what tasks lay ahead for you. I do know you're agreeing to attempt to be successful where the Omanji failed. One of the most important concepts in our society is to discover when we're wrong and correct it as soon as possible. Only then can the path to the truth be found. I agree. That explains your swift decision-making process, Nisha said, still whispering. What do I do now? Wait here for a few minutes, Bach said. The trainers are telling the humans that domestication has failed and they must leave now. Nisha watched the children listen to the trainer silently give them the news. For a moment, Priya turned to Nisha and their eyes met. Sophie also glanced over at Nisha. Bok, I'm afraid.
Why?
What if Priya doesn't like me? She's been modified. She isn't the same.
Bok paused again and turned gray as he often did when he didn't know how to reply. We've made sure they retained their original personalities. They're more intelligent now, so they may have insights they didn't have before. She has been improved, and I'm sure you'll like the improvements. Your discussions will be more intellectual and more engaging. We haven't modified the Utes in any way. The trainer has finished giving his final instructions. You can take them now. They know they must leave. A few dozen have voluntarily elected to stay with us. They will remain here.
Why would they stay?
Some were abused by other humans and don't wish to return to those situations.
I understand. Abuse is still common in some societies. I can't blame them.
Nisha realized she must rise to the occasion. She walked to the front of the crowd of over 300 teenagers. Their hair had been cut short and wore trendy, youthful clothing, manufactured by the Omanji, after analyzing current trends. They stood in silence as Nisha walked onto a platform. The group had been randomly sampled from around the world, so only a small percentage of them could speak English. She had to be succinct and clear in her message.
"Hello, everyone. You're free to go," Nisha said. "Follow me."
She waved her arms in the direction of the exit, and soon they were filling the lift cubes and heading down to the ground level. Bok stayed behind and watched them leave. Priya stood in Nisha's lift cube, but she said nothing. Neither did Sophie. Nobody said a word on the trip down. When they got to the ground level, Nisha had them congregate outside. As the lift cubes from various levels within the tower reached the ground level, she directed those groups of children to walk outside. Within 30 minutes, a crowd of 25,000 were assembled outside the tower and overflowed around the sides of a large, angular work of art. The children said nothing. Nisha turned on her live broadcast feed and announced to the world that the children and the Utes were free. Soon, tens of thousands of Utes walked into the huge town square-like area. She climbed up onto an angled block of artificially printed granite-like stone and instructed them to follow her to the colony's edge. Soon they were all moving as though they were going to a large concert, only in complete silence. Nisha heard the shuffling sounds of the boot-like shoes they all wore. The verbal silence reminded her of the moment before a serve in a big tennis match. In back, she noticed the clarinet-like sounds of the Utes. After about an hour of walking, they reached the edge of the colony and hiked up the hill. Nisha contacted Rachel as they walked.
"Nisha, do you know that you're the biggest news story on the planet right now?" Rachel said.
"Maybe in history. Even the president applauds your efforts."
"I had no idea. I've been focusing on trying to keep everyone together. I'm trying to control a crowd comprised of two species, few of whom speak English and most of whom don't speak a human language."
"You're doing a fantastic job," Rachel said.
"I'm watching your broadcast. I alerted the military to prepare to house and feed all of them. It's already late afternoon, and we have 10,000 troops at our disposal. I spoke with General Sherman, and we agreed a tent colony must be constructed nearby as soon as possible. Preparations are being made, and a site has been chosen, close to here in the open space. I don't think the colony will expand in that direction."
"Thanks for doing all that," Nisha said. "How is Yuva?"
"She's excited the Utes were freed. She says she loves you. She's happy about the humans, too. She's aware of the situation. How is Priya?"
Nisha glanced at Priya and Sophie.
"She's fine, but she isn't saying a word to me. She's staying near me, so she must feel some attachment, but she's different now. I think I'm in the midst of alien beings, and I'm not talking about the Utes. They're quiet, but I think they're talking with each other silently, so I'm the odd one out. I notice how they interact with each other. 2 hours ago, I had no idea all this would happen. This is chaos. We'll be back soon. I'm getting a lot of exercise."
"Hang in there," Rachel said. "Supplies will be airlifted in. By this evening, we'll be able to provide places for them to stay. I know one thing about the Omanji. When they decide, they waste no time implementing it."
"You're right about that. When they change their collective minds, they're not afraid to go in the other direction."
"What are those sounds I hear in the background?" Rachel said.
Nisha looked at the silent children and became aware that the sounds were coming from behind them. She listened.
"It's the Utes. They're playing musical instruments of some kind as they walk along. They're in the distance. The sounds are coming from an instrument pushed against their flexible noses."
"They're talented," Rachel said. "I guess we're the third most advanced species on the planet now."
I got a 2,680 out of 2,800 on the SAT-4, and I feel lesser than when I talk with Yuva, and she's only an adolescent.
Nisha smiled.
Rachel, don't count out us old-school humans. I'll admit I'm beginning to be a little intimidated around the new Priya. She's still not speaking with me. Let's find out what we can do with her tonight.
Oh, we old-school humans are now the fourth most advanced species, behind the Omanji, the Utes, and the modified humans. Don't worry. We'll work on Priya. She's been through the most traumatic experience of her life, and we need to give her time.
Thanks. I'm going to contact Quinn.
A minute later, she got hold of him.
Quinn, did you hear the news?
Of course, Niche. I've been watching your live broadcast 24/7, except when I'm sleeping. You're in the news everywhere. I couldn't escape you if I tried. I noticed that Priya isn't speaking. What can I do?
Nothing yet, Nisha said. I think eventually Priya and Sophie can return home. I'll need their help to figure out what has happened to the kids. Maybe they can return home. I need to go, but I miss you so much.
Me too, Nish. Be careful. Nisha glanced at Priya. She felt anxiety in the pit of her stomach. She feared rejection and felt inferior to Priya.
I spoke with your dad. He's excited to know you're free. How are you?
She waited for a reply, but none came. Priya glanced over at Sophie as though they were discussing something. Nisha decided not to push the matter. They continued walking up the hill until they arrived at the location where trucks could pick them up and deliver them to the new compound. The human children would be in one section and the Utes would be in the other. Eventually, they reached Nisha and Rachel's tent. Security guards guided them to the new compound. Nisha instructed Priya and Sophie to go into her tent, and they sat down on a cot. Nisha peered out of the tent door as thousands of children and Utes walked by. She smiled.
Rachel, you know what?
No.
I'm bored, Rachel laughed.
Yeah, I spent the day looking for a more interesting career.
Yuva watched the procession of humans and Utes walk by.
Yuva, Rachel said, what are you doing?
I'm looking for my family. We have no tracking implants, so I must search for them by looking at every Ute who walks by.
If you find them, tell them to come into the tent, Rachel said.
If not, we can send for them after they reach the compound. We can set up a tent next to ours for your family.
Yuva hugged Rachel, sending a warm current into her as they watched for Yuva's family.
Nisha sat down next to Priya and Rachel as they sat on the cot across from her. A warm breeze wafted through the tent, punctuated by dust from the endless stream of refugees.
Pri, how are you? I've missed you.
Priya glanced at Sophie and said nothing.
Sophie, how are you? Nisha asked, hoping for a better reply.
I missed you too. Ever since you were taken from us, I've been fighting to get you back. Now here you are. I'm so happy. Sophie stared at Priya and remained silent.
Are you guys hungry?
Nisha asked, hoping for a little gleam in their eye.
We could get something to eat. How would you like pizza? I bet the Omanji don't make good pizza. Oma is too far away from Chicago.
Silence. Priya turned to Sophie and they engaged in a silent discussion. They stood up and stared at Nisha with blank stares. Nisha smiled.
Pizza, anyone?
She said. The girls didn't say anything, but they moved closer to the door of the tent. Nisha held her stomach for a moment.
Okay, let's go. They make great pizza at the mess tent.
They followed along.
Let's go, Rachel and Yuva.
They sat down with their veggie pizzas at the picnic table with the magnificent view of the colony. The sun faded into a stunning red sky. Yuva watched the endless procession of refugees, both human and Ute, pass by. At first, they ate in silence. Yuva made the only sound as she chewed on her crunchy food with her four chopsticks.
Nisha, notice how the sunset has moved since we first got here a few weeks ago, Rachel said.
It's setting more to the left each day as fall begins.
You're right, Nisha said.
When we first arrived here, the sun used to set behind that tower over there. Now it's moved all the way to this point. I watch this happen every year, but somehow watching the sun set behind the colony makes the daily progression more dramatic.
It's different than on Oma, Yuva said via her translator.
Priya and Sophie glanced at Yuva with wide-open eyes, as though they didn't know Yuva could speak. They said nothing.
Nothing.
Although I was born on the way to Earth, I've watched many long scenes, I mean videos of Oma.
Feek stays in the sky for 28 Earth days. Nisha, are you saying the Earth goes through distinct phases of the sun feeling warm and cold in various locations? Priya stood up.
It's easy to explain. Nisha and Rachel looked at Priya with raised eyebrows. The Earth is tilted on its axis by over 23 degrees. So for part of the year, the sun appears high in the sky and it's warm, and for part of the year, it's low and colder. On the equator, it's nearly the same year-round. Nisha raised an eyebrow again. Yuva continued talking. Priya, is there a substantial difference between aphelion and perihelion as the Earth goes around your star? No, Priya said. The Earth is 3% further away during the warmer summer in this northern hemisphere, and 3% closer during the colder winter period. The distance change doesn't affect the climate as much as the tilt of the Earth. Yuva, is Oma close to your star, Phoenix? Did the Omanji leave Oma because one side would soon permanently face your sun and ruin your climate? Yes, Yuva said. And we discovered that once the planet becomes tidally locked, most of both continents would permanently be on the dark side forever. The ecosystem will collapse. The process is starting quickly, even though the rotation is getting slower only gradually. So we had to move. They took us along to make us into pets. That's what they were doing to us, Sophie said. They were abusive toward us. They didn't physically abuse us, but they wouldn't let us visit our parents, and they were going to assign us to be a pet to an Omanji family. They called us companions, but we were pets, or even slaves. Yeah, Priya said. They put these chips into our heads, and they modified our DNA. They said they improved our lives because we'll live to be over 300 years old. I'm not sure if I believe that. Believe it, Yuva said. The Omanji are capable of nearly everything. They're unstoppable unless they self-destruct. That happens only once every few thousand years, so don't count on it. Priya leaned over the table in her pizza and inspected Yuva. Are you female like me? Yuva paused for a moment to think about the question. I believe so. When I reach adult status, I'll know for sure. If I'm female, I'll lay my eggs to reproduce. Priya looked increasingly animated. I'm female too. I have 300,000 single-celled eggs, but human females bear live young. Do you carry your babies around in your bodies while they develop and feed them from your bodies after they're born? Yes, Priya said. That's so primitive. When our eggs hatch, the babies can eat adult food right away. We keep them in incubators so we don't have to carry them around. Some like carrying them in our pouches like it used to be. Yuva stood up from the table and ran into the stream of people and utes passing by. Mommy, I think Yuva found her parents. I think you're right, Nisha said. She was still in shock that Priya started talking. Her heart was racing. She didn't want to make a big deal of the fact that Priya spoke to her and called her mommy, as she did when she was a child. Go get them and bring them over here. We prepared a special tent for Yuva's family. Priya and Sophie ran over to Yuva and her parents and brought them back to the table. Nisha stood up. Yuva, tell your parents the humans are happy they're here on the Earth and we're pleased to meet them. Yuva held the hands of both of her parents and spoke in her melodious and clarinet-like voice. Her parents replied. Yuva turned to Nisha and spoke into her translation device. They thank you for taking them in and saving them from a life of being the slave pets of the Omanji. They say they possess many skills. They can compensate you for your troubles. They want to make a new life for themselves on Earth. They wish to become friends to the humans and to stay away from the Omanji. Nisha turned to Yuva and Yuva's parents. Don't worry about compensation. Get acclimated to the Earth. You can stay in the tent near me. We have many things to discuss. Yuva translated Nisha's message. Yuva, would you like to spend time with your parents alone in your new tent? Nisha said. Yes, she said. They walked back to their respective tents. Nisha gave Priya and Sophie a big hug and cried. It's okay, Mom. I'm fine now, Priya said. How are you? Nisha said. The sensation is like I had one of those energy drinks. You know, like the ones they warn you not to drink because they cause heart problems. Only my heart is fine. I'm healthy, and I have this urge to read. A lot.
You have an urge to read?
Yes, I'm hungry. Only I want to read to satisfy myself. Priya paused for a second. Sophie agrees. We both want to read all the time now. Can you spare a reader or an eyepiece? Yes, I can. What do you want to read about? I want to learn genetics. We want to understand what they've done to us. I want to understand Sanjay's autism. Can you take a blood tissue sample from us and get our genome sequenced? Then we can compare our current genomes to a sequencing we did in our high school Introduction to Genetics lab over the summer. I also want to find out what's happening with the neurons in my brain and the corpus callosum. We drew blood earlier, but we can get better samples now. Nisha blinked to activate her eyepiece, and soon a phlebotomy specialist drew samples of blood and later a small amount of brain cells from Priya and Sophie. Priya and Sophie eventually looked tired, so Nisha set up their cots. They were soon fast asleep. Nisha contacted Quinn and expressed her excitement over the day's events. Even though she felt elated to have Priya back, her anxiety increased. She didn't know why. Soon they all fell asleep.